Let me get myself organized here for just a minute. I'm going to put on some hand sanitizer. How's that? Okay. All right. I think we're good to go. Okay, so we just had our ritual where we honor the practitioners, and I'll be speaking about them a little bit more as time goes on. But, you know, we ended that ritual with the phrase, "We love you, we bless you, we believe in you, you are the face of God." And I'm going to ask you a question. Are you the face of God? Are you the face of God?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good job. Well, we know that Hugh is. Yes, we are, and yet, what does that mean? You know, I think it means that we showed up here. We were created out of awareness or God or whatever it is we want to call it, absolute reality. We were created out of reality itself to be the life force, the life energy, the face of an individualized expression of the holiest of holies. That place, that power, that presence that some of us call God, some of us call higher power, some of us call spirit, some of us call absolute reality, but we are that thing that has created and come to earth on purpose. And so the name of my message today is Serve Your Purpose. And I wonder, do we know what our purpose is? I don't know. It can change over time. I'm not always sure that I know my purpose, but I sort of know it now. I think some of us who feel like we don't know our purpose, who question our purpose, have what I call purpose envy. We look at other people's purposes. Is that a word? Purpi? Purposes. And we think, oh, I wish my purpose was as big as her purpose, or I wish my purpose was as strong as her purpose, or I wish that my purpose could be really sassy like that person's, or, you know, I don't even have a purpose, or my purpose isn't very important, or I don't deserve a purpose. But I have another question. Do you exist? Yes. The answer is yes. Good job.
Apparently
we exist, yes. And if you exist, you have a purpose. Just ask an earthworm or a bumblebee. Something as lowly as a purpose or a bee, a honeybee. Something as lowly as one of those creatures, which I don't really think are lowly. There's no lowly in infinity. They have a purpose. And I think that every single person that is born has a purpose. And so part of our job here this morning, part of our purpose of this talk about purpose is to discover purpose for ourselves. I looked at what some of the experts say about purpose. Our brother Rupert Spira, who is right up there between Joni Mitchell and my dog, Saraswati. My dog dressed like a nun. That's Rupert Spira. He's a great non-dualistic teacher. And he says, so funny, you know, he was, he does these YouTube talks where he has people ask questions from the audience, and somebody asked him, what do you think our purpose is here on earth? And without even taking a breath, went like, what do you think our purpose is here on earth? Rupert Spira says, happiness. Happiness. Now, I'm not sure a lot of us learned that growing up, that it was our purpose to be happy. But Brother Rupert says that happiness is just another name for God. God is a religious name, a religious term for happiness. Happiness is a religious term for, or is a spiritual term for, recognizing that we are one with the entire universe, that the I am is I am. That's what I said before, that the I am manifested as each of us so that we could express an individualized, individuated sense of purpose here on the planet Earth, custom made for us and custom made to share with others. The Dalai Lama same thing. He says that our purpose is happiness. Our purpose is happiness, and that everybody is seeking happiness. Some people are just going about it in ways that are destructive, but they think that they're seeking happiness. Here in this center, as we're building a community of compassion, we recognize that happiness, our own personal happiness, has to do with the happiness of all. And so we strive to look at our purpose, at our definition of happiness that includes, is something that includes everyone, something that is inclusive and life-affirming for all beings everywhere. So everyone has a purpose. The purpose is happiness. But there are different paths to happiness. And I think that often, again, in this teaching, we often will use a spiritual quality that are all other names for everything, for reality, qualities such as joy or peace. My purpose is peace. My purpose is happiness. My purpose is love. My purpose is compassion. We use those qualities to help identify our purpose, and that way it makes it easier to live that purpose, to live like the purpose that we imagined for ourselves, that Spirit ordained us with. To live like that purpose is true. To live like the purpose of our purpose is true. Wrap your head around that one. Sometimes, as it said in the reading that Hugh did, we forget our purpose. You know, I was thinking about forgetting our purpose, and one of my favorite scenes from a movie is from Annie Hall. It's a 3-second scene, and Woody Allen, consummate New Yorker, comes from New York to visit Diane Keaton, Annie Hall, in Los Angeles, and they attend a snazzy LA party, and you walk by and Jeff Goldblum is on the phone. Remember Jeff Goldblum, the actor? I think it was one of his first roles. It was just a cameo, but he's on the phone and he's going, hi, I forgot my mantra. I love that so much. It's that scene and then it's over. And, you know, I think that like in that song, in that reading that Hugh did, sometimes we forget our song, sometimes we forget our mantra, sometimes we forget our purpose, we get off purpose. And our lives are so much better when we're on purpose. So how do we remember our purpose? Well, I certainly think that spiritual community helps, I think that meditation helps, and I think that we can ask ourselves certain questions that will help us. In this class that I'm teaching, Rumi's Field, it's meeting in Rumi's Field, we're talking a bit about things that appear to be conflicts with one another, things that seem to be against one another, but seeing this place of meeting in a place beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, and seeing how they can merge and really how they actually support one another. And so I think that we have purpose and we have what appears to be anti-purpose, but anti-purpose really actually helps support and grow and build your purpose. And I have a process that I'm doing with the class, and if you want to take the class, you can do the process with all of us, but if you also don't want to take the class, just contact the office and we can send you the handout that I'm using. But really, at the end of the process, what I'm inviting people to do is to boil their purpose down to one word. Now, some people know their purpose right away, but there are various techniques that you can do to move your purpose down to one word, asking things like, what is it that you are uniquely qualified to teach? What is it that you think the world really needs from you right now? What brings you joy? What can you do, and who are you serving? And then this other part of the exercise is you write a paragraph about yourself in 100 words, exactly 100 words describing your purpose in life. I guinea pigged somebody on that. I had Annette do it, and she wrote the 100-word paragraph, and you know, she said it was really powerful because you have to be very careful about the words that you choose. So that's one way that you can discern your purpose. And when you do that, if you do that enough, if you look at those questions enough, and if you boil down your purpose, you can actually come up with one or two words that describe your purpose. And then you take those words through you in life. And every day we wake up and we say, wow, today I'm going to express my purpose of, say, joy. You know, Spirit, show me how to express joy today. I have I have several purposes, but I was very specific once the pandemic started, and once it looked like it was going to last for a while, you know. I think many of us at the beginning were just like, hey, 6 weeks and we're done, yippee. Not so much. But once it looked like it was going to stay around for a while, I got very specific about my purpose. It also, in case you haven't noticed, happens to be an election year. And there's also a lot of rage out in the world about all kinds of things, all kinds of things. And it's a very tricky time in the place of our world. But you know, the thing is that purpose is greater than any conflict that can emerge. Purpose does not depend on things going right. In fact, it actually depends on things going wrong. It's much stronger if you can hold to your purpose even when things are unappealing or seem like they're going wrong or seem destructive. If you can anchor in your purpose and stay there with that purpose, then that really means something. It strengthens your purpose and strengthens your resolve. So my pandemic and pre-election purpose is reconciliation. And when I wake up in the morning and I say, okay, my purpose is reconciliation, I'm going to look for opportunities to reconcile differences today. Reconcile meaning that we meet in a place where we may not agree, but we can be civilized with each other and can be kind to each other. I think compassion is part of it too. I think that's why this community is such on a compassionate rampage, for lack of a better word, that we're really bringing forth this idea that compassion is key. Compassion heals everything, and reconciliation is a huge force in the universe that can make apparent differences seem wrong actually seem right. That can make them come together in a new way and bring forth through a third force, bring forth something that's greater than what we had imagined anything could be. So my work in reconciliation is daily with relationships and with people that I work with and people that I live with and people that I encounter, strangers that I meet. And it involved joining a group called Braver Angels that is actually about blue people and red people speaking to one another in a civilized manner and learning how to navigate that and be respectful of the other person's point of view and seeing what I always see when I do this work is that underneath there are values at stake and nobody is against the values that are at stake. It's just the method of getting there that sometimes trips us up. And the other purpose, you know, all of my purposes have to do with joy. There's always like a little joy spice thrown in there, you know, a little seasoning of joy. So in the purpose of reconciliation, one of the things that I've been doing during the pandemic to reconcile, to bring people together, is creating crossword puzzles. Fun crossword puzzles for our staff. And it's so funny. It sounds like such a simple thing. It sounds so ridiculous, but people love them, and we have a good time doing them. And they're like really easy, but we don't all know the answers, so we have to work together to do them. I did one for somebody, oh, I don't know, he may not want me to talk about him, but I did it for Chris last, because it was his birthday this week, and we did a Chris cross word puzzle. Chris is our pianist, in case you don't know, and you know, and it was really hard questions like, okay, see if you guys know this, what is Chris's favorite color? Black, yes, oh my gosh, you're brilliant, yeah. So just having the opportunity to laugh and to joke and to have fun and to learn new things about people, in case somebody did not know Chris's favorite color was black. You know, what was Chris's audition piece that he played when he came here to work 17 years ago? The theme from On Golden Pond. Oh, it sold me immediately. So all of that is a reconciliation of sorts. And the thing is that if you pick a value, if you pick a purpose, if you pick a purpose to serve, then the purpose will serve you. Because the thing is that all of these things that I'm mentioning, joy, compassion, reconciliation, peace, love, any of those things, integrity, any of those things is much bigger than any of us. And any of those things is infinite. So we can have an infinite relationship with any of those things and find an infinite number of ways to express them if we are willing. If we are willing to do the work of letting go of what is standing in the way standing in the way of the full expression of our purpose. And I'll tell you, 90% of the time it's complaining. Sorry to let you know that, but 90% of the time it's complaining or whining about something that's not going the way you think it should be, right? And when we're doing that, we're wrestling with the entire universe, because the entire universe is putting stuff together in a way that it needs to be put together. So if we're able to let go, honor and let go of that which is thwarting our purpose, and recognize that it is actually thwarting our purpose, it is actually getting in the way of the purpose, just let it go and see what comes up, then we start to really, truly live on purpose. I know I said I was going to speak a little bit more about the practitioners, and I know that they are just such a fine group of people that live on purpose. So I discerned, and this may, I may have, you know, put words in their mouths, and we have to ask them individually what their purposes are, but I have what I see the practitioners, how I see them living on purpose. You know, and that's another thing too, I meant to say this earlier. One of the ways that we can discern our own purpose is to bear witness to others who are living on purpose, and to ask people, what is your purpose in life? I love asking people that question. That is an awesome question if we ever get to go to parties again, to ask somebody, what is your purpose in life? Can you say it in one or two words? It's wonderful. So I'm bearing witness to what I see the practitioners doing, and just this is only just a little thread of what they do. Starting, they're alphabetical by first name, so I'm starting with Annette. And Annette serves kindness. This is the only story I'm going to tell. The rest is just a list. But Annette serves kindness, you know, in simple ways. The other day she told me that our neighbor, who walks by with his dog all the time, and we talk to him sometimes, and she had an old paperweight that she had that she gave, that was her mother's, and she gave the paperweight to the neighbor because the picture of a dog on it reminded her of his dog. And she said the guy started to cry. He was so touched that Annette gave him a paperweight. Isn't that the sweetest thing? You know, when you start living on purpose, you see that kind of thing all around. The whole world becomes a miracle. Bernie serves many of us, serves her purpose with her wit and her wisdom. Joan, I run into people that have been blessed by Joan's phone calls, so perhaps her purpose is connection and love. Kim serves the purpose of healthy relationships with her engaging teaching. Reverend Susan serves worthiness through the book that she's written. Vicky serves beauty, beauty of words and beauty of gardening. Lonnie serves integrity as board president. Jeanette serves the unfoldment of new practitioners, as she was a brilliant TA, when teaching assistant, when we worked with this last group. Linda Drevenstedt is currently serving prosperity consciousness, the purpose of prosperity. Linda Dye serves authenticity through great and honest questions that she asks in class. Maggie serves transformation with prayer. Peter serves kindness with the kindness meditation he does every week. Jennifer served connection with her leap into live streaming when we did not know what to do when the pandemic first started, and she just jumped right in there with courage and did it for us. Yay, Jennifer. Yay. Deborah serves devotion with spiritual practice and also with singing. She's a devoted member of the choir. She drives all the way from Santa Barbara to sing with us. Bill Hadris serves families with wit and with wisdom. Sue Cable serves the love of animals through the PAWS ministry. PAWS are wonderful support. Mary Kerrigan, our choir director, she serves beauty and community in not only the choir, but in so many ways. Greg Luce serves integrity, serving the integrity of the building. Jen Luce serves devotion by doing so much for us. Lita serves the divine through meditations and through gardening and other things as well. Amy serves beauty in all of us through designer gowns and also through the classes that she teaches. And then Reverend Karen Mitchell serves beauty in music. Fred Mondragon serves the principles of wisdom and steadfast presence. Reverend Karen Mondragon serves the whole congregation. Every single one of us can turn to Karen for prayer, and she'll mobilize all of the practitioners to pray for you. Cheryl serves with great humor and with great grace in the way she is in the world, and just willing to do anything for us. Doreen serves prayer, among other things, by organizing the prayers after the service. Reverend Judy serves the sick and the dying by holding one hand at a time. Diane served the financial integrity on our board for many years as treasurer. Jill serves our youth. Bill Seal serves as a loving and hugging presence. Often when I meet new people, they say that Bill Seal was the first person they met, and back when we could hug, he would hug them. Susan Seal serves as a shining example of grace and goodness. Jonna serves one love in all beings. Dina serves beauty in prayer and in education and in music. Rick serves integrity in our building, making sure that Grandma's, which we call our building, is safe. Mike serves the unfolding of new practitioners as a teaching assistant. Lacey serves love through prayer. Christine serves growth through advertising us on Facebook, among other things. Gail serves our bunnies and also our homeless brothers and sisters. And Kathy serves great integrity as our treasurer, again, among other things. So you see that we are in fantastic hands with our core of practitioners. And I really hope that you all partake of all of the gifts that they have to offer, because they are magnificent. They are only a part of the magnificence of this center, but they are a huge part of this magnificence of the center, because we wouldn't be as thriving and as wonderful as we are without all of them. So with all of those words, I've heard integrity, wisdom, compassion, love, all of those things, I really encourage each of you to find at least one word of purpose, maybe two if you can't control yourself, find one or two words of purpose, and then just live that purpose. You don't have to know how, but you have to know when, and that when is now. And you have to know how to ask. You just have to ask Spirit, Spirit, Beloved, Divine Beloved, Absolute Reality, show me how I can live my purpose today. And that changes the world, folks. That changes our community, that changes Ventura, that changes California, and it changes the entire world. People living on purpose. Let's live on purpose now, and let us pray.